The following is brought to you by the Starfleet Podcast Network, SPN, The Spin.
Alec, I got to tell you about the two times a day that I almost died.
Oh, no.
So the first one was she called up and said that she was running late and could we push this like 3 o'clock? And I was thinking, you know, I hate changing times on things, especially that close. She had to do her hair and makeup. And I said, don't worry about doing your hair and makeup. It's fine. We can go without it. Well, the pause on the phone told me that I should probably redact what I just said.
See, because you forgot and said, you don't need hair and makeup. You look amazing without it.
I forgot the last part, and I think that's what did it. So I had the chance there. And then the second time, so we're fixing her hair. You know, I'm putting on the rank pips, a comm badge. We're getting ourselves all ready. Gave me the scissors, and I think that was the fateful decision of, here, cut a little bit on the back just to make sure it's even. And so I kept checking. Is this good right here? Said, yes. Said, okay, went snip. You did too much!
Yeah, he's now in trouble.
And almost, I thought I was going to get stabbed.
As well as going. Thank God you're the one with the scissors.
That was the first and last time he got to cut my hair.
Yeah, probably should not have trusted me with that.
Well, I did stop him in the middle and be like, no, because he had about 6 inches. And I was like, we're not chopping that much off. It's just a trim. And I showed him with my fingers about an inch, and he cut off about 3-4 inches. So,
of course, he's a guy.
I know. He's like, I'm really sorry I messed that up. I'm like, yeah, well, there's nothing we can do about it now. We're just going to have to wait till it grows back out.
What a red alert. I'm glad we were able to get together and talk. Yeah. I saw your post on Facebook about the Axnar Animal Rescue. And I thought, wow, this sounds pretty interesting. And, of course, Nico here, she's all into the pets, cats, adoption, things like that. So I thought, if there's anyone who's going to be the authority on this kind of thing, it's probably going to be her. So I may end up spending most of this just kind of sitting here listening. Hopefully not. Might let me participate. So could you tell us a little more about the Axnar Animal Rescue? This is the first I'd heard about it. Have you done this, talked about it before?
Yeah, so we, Crystal, my fiance, and I first rescued 3 dogs back almost exactly 6 years ago. And one of the three, Mama, just passed away from cancer last week. About 2 weeks ago now. It's 2 weeks ago. And which really sucked because she was such a sweet dog. And but we rescued 3 and then I got involved, you know, and we wound up keeping them all because we didn't really know how to get in contact with rescues and for, you know, the whole nine yards. We just didn't know anything about it. So we started educating ourselves about it, and those 3 dogs wound up being our dogs. We foster failed, as you say, and that was, you know, that was a situation where Crystal's mom lived in a apartment complex, and it was a little, I don't want to say shady, but there it had its element. And these 3 dogs were outside on what was like the coldest week in of the year in Atlanta, and we just basically went over and said, if you're not taking care of those dogs, we're taking them. And the guy was in prison, his partner wasn't taking care of the dogs, and we said, we're taking them. He can call me when he gets out of prison. So we took the dogs, and then and that just kind of blossomed. And then about, I guess, 2019, Crystal was going to work one night. It was New Year's Eve. She was going to work. And there was a Belgian Malinois, which basically, if you don't know what a Belgian Malinois is, they're basically athletic versions of German Shepherds. All the military dogs, police dogs, if they're not German Shepherds, for the Belgian Malinois are the go-to dog. They're very athletic. They're very high energy. You really shouldn't own one unless you really know about the breed because they need a lot of exercise. Anyway, this one was in the middle of the street, one of the busiest intersections in Lawrenceville. And so Crystal got her out and wind up finding out that she had 13 puppies.
Wow.
We got the 13 puppies, and the mama, and took them to our house. And the good news was, on the way home, we had lived about 15 minutes away. The rescue that we had fostered for put us in contact with a foster here in Atlanta, with a rescue here in Atlanta. And they were like, you foster them, we'll find them home. So we're like, great, okay.
Nice.
And so the next 2 months were just me taking care of 13 Belgian Malinois puppies.
Ooh.
which, you know, started out this big and wound up this big.
Yeah.
And but it was really a seminal moment in my life, because you basically, you know, I'd come down in the morning and they started out in a box with the mom, and then we put them in a pen, and then we had to split them up because there were so many of them. Yeah. And mama couldn't feed them all, so it was two pens, and then we put them in the kitchen, and by that point the mom was like, I'm done, I'm not feeding them anymore. And she was a very young mom. She was only like a year. Wow. And so she was like, she didn't even want to come back in the house when we'd walk her, which is typical for moms. They get very stressed out and very overloaded, and then the little puppies are biting, and, you know, it's so the mom got a great home. When we took all the puppies into the vet, we had like the local police chief came down to see them all, to choose which one he wanted. And but it was an amazing moment. It was an amazing time in my life. And they were just adorable. I mean, they're just the cutest little things. And 13 of them.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. So it just kept going, you know. And we moved 3 years ago here to Monroe, which is farther, which is about an hour east of Atlanta. So we're 25 minutes from Athens, where University of Georgia is. So we're just kind of, if you draw a line between Atlanta and University of Georgia, we're about 2/3 of the way between. And last year we were doing a fireworks stand as a fundraiser for our studio. And this cat walked into the stand, the fireworks stand. And we're like, oh. And Crystal's like, oh, where'd that come from? And I was like, oh, I've seen him in the back. She's like, well, let's bring some food and water. And so we brought a food and water bowl. And about 2 days later, I go out and find that there's like five little kittens running around. I mean, like, and I'm like, okay, we got to do something. We can't let all these kittens be strays. So we trapped everyone, the mom, the dad, the five kittens. Mom and dad, we spayed and neutered and released again because they were basically feral. And the kittens we raised and found homes among actually Axnar donors. We put out the word on our newsletter and on Facebook, and the five little kittens got homes, one in Utah, one in Maine, one in Maryland, two here in town. So yeah, so all over. And and we use a Delta Air Rescue Transport, which is the employees of Delta Airlines, when they're not flying, when they're not working, you know, they all fly for free. So they'll take an animal and fly a round trip on their day off.
Oh, that's really so cool.
Some lady was like, I'll go to Utah. So booked it, gave her the cat, met her at the airport, gave her the cat and a carrier. She, you know, checked it. They bring it on the plane with them. And so that was last year, and we wound up with one of the cats. It was funny because we had five kittens, and like the next day, my next door neighbor's like, hey, one of your cats' kittens got out. And go, what? No, they didn't. They go, we have a little black kitten in our garage. And what had happened, it was July 5th, and what had happened is they had gone to the July 4th fireworks in town, and this kitten must have gotten, as cats do, they get in the engine, they get, yeah, in the undercarriage, they get, and wound up in their garage. And so that one came over. We were like, okay, we got five. What's six? So that one came over. And as animals sometimes do, that little one, who Crystal called Boo Biscuit was like, I'm home now.
Yeah.
You're my people. and he was just like, so jump up on the bed. And he was like, yeah, give me pets. So he's a she is now, I don't know, fat 15 pound cat or whatever cats. I don't know how much she weighs, 8 pounds. I don't know, but she's fat. I keep calling her fat cat. So she's living the good life. And then, earlier this year, I was talking a dog rescue with someone and who runs a TIFT animal control, which is 3 hours south of us. And she used to run the rescue, and then the head of the animal control resigned and she took that job. So the rescue and the animal control are basically operate out of the same building, which is awesome. But she was overflowing with cats. And I said, Crystal, I said, she's got a mom and it was like five or six kittens. She says, I think we could foster them. She said, yeah. So I brought them up and we put them in our bathroom and, we have these expandable pens and when the mom's feeding the kittens, there's not a lot you have to do. Make sure the mom has a litter box and food, plenty of food, because they eat a storm, and she takes care of the rest. So we did that, and just this year we've just been TNRing a lot, which is trap, neuter, and release. So here in town, there's multiple locations that I've gone and done that, and we've been adopting out cats. And we were very lucky to get a deal with PetSense, which is like PetSmart or Petco. PetSense actually is the subsidiary of Tractor Supply. You have a Tractor Supply where you are, we living in farm country, you have Tractor Supply, which is like Home Depot for farmers. And anyway, they have a subsidiary called PetSense. Ironically, it's that former CEO of PetSmart started PetSense when he left PetSmart.
Nice.
And I guess then he sold it to Tractor Supply, I guess. So anyway, they have a nice setup with four pens, and they had no cat rescue. And I was like, we'll take that. Yeah. And the one here in Monroe was taken, but I met the head of that cat rescue, and she's kind of been our mentor, Peyton, with Cat Paw Sanctuary. So she kind of mentored us, and we did everything under her banner for a while. And so I think this year we've probably trapped, neutered, and released, I don't know, maybe two dozen cats. And even of that, we probably trapped, two dozen. And of those, we've probably, eight of them have probably gone to homes, actually. And then we've, adopted out probably two dozen cats. We have another, 20 in foster right now between ourselves and two fosters that we have and a bottle feeder. So it's just kind of grown. And being that I basically work full time on Axanar right now, it's given me, and I've always been my own last 20 years, 4 or 5 years, I've been my own boss. So it's nice having your own schedule. So, like today I went out and I went to PetSense and just to change some signs. I have some new, you print up nice color signs with each animal and their bio and everything. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, this lady and her son came in and they were like, yeah, we really want to adopt Sterling, which is this beautiful Siamese. And we're like, okay. I was like, okay. So, right. That's one of the reasons I expected to be in, drop off some signs and leave. I wound up getting there. I started cleaning out the litter boxes because sometimes the employees don't always clean out the litter boxes on a timely basis. So I'm cleaning out the litter boxes and this lady and her son show up, and then now she wants to adopt. So she has to fill out an application. So when you said you were going to be late, I was like, perfect.
Yay. We're so glad that Sterling got a home. That's awesome.
Yeah. And so, and we have six wow. others there, two to a pen. And we just started working with another rescue, a young lady named Scarlett. And she has one of those sheds that people buy, that you buy at Home Depot. And she mm-hmm. bought it and outfitted it to be a cat sanctuary.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, what are you doing? How do you do that? And we started talking. And so we're working together now. So she's going to foster for us. We're going to place some of her cats in at PetSense. So we're, So trying to build our network. So ultimately, we don't want to be hosting cats. Like, we got lucky this time in that we just moved. So our old house is now hosting. Now it's only three, but it was at one point hosting 4, 5, 11 cats. That's down to three now. So we don't want to be fostering so much just because we travel, we do this and that. So if we can do the infrastructure and the networking and the advertising and all that and have others who foster for us, you know, we can build out a rescue and help as many cats as we can.
That's really awesome.
So the question that I've got is, and hopefully this doesn't sound like a dumb question, but between fostering...
They're only dumb Klingons.
Yes. When it comes to fostering cats and dogs, is there one that's easier to foster than another? And do you try to not have both at the same time? Well, you don't foster them in your home. You have a different...
No,
place.
We do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. So fostering dogs is way more at work, especially puppies, right?
Oh, yeah.
The beauty of cats, of course, is that, you know, very early on, they learn what a litter box is. And they use the litter box. So you don't have to walk them. You don't have to clean up. You have to scoop the litter box, you know, once or twice a day. So cats are really easy. First of all, everyone should foster animals. One, the rescue and animal shelter system in this country is overloaded, mostly because people in the South are idiots, meaning the government, who refuses to put in spay and neuter laws and registration laws and this and that, whereas up north they don't. So above the Mason-Dixon line, there's very little animal overpopulation. They're usually importing animals from the South. Down here, you have all sorts of problems with basically here in Georgia, for example, you're a pet is you own the pet. It's property. It's not a living. It has no rights to itself. And people just treat the animals just like crap. And it's just a different culture of how, you know, you treat animals. And so there's so many backyard breeders in the South, and it's just a shame. So anyway, by fostering a rescue, typically, 99% of rescues in this country don't have their own facilities, right? They are foster based. And so the number of animals they can hold depends on how many fosters they can get. And so we've fostered, I don't know how many, dozens of dogs. We never really fostered cats until we started rescuing them ourselves. Rescuing dogs is just, it's wonderful. I mean, I remember one dog, I think we named her Pumpkin Spice. And she was hours away from being euthanized. Tracy was like, Alec, can you please foster this dog for, you know, it was short term. I said, sure. And went up to get the dog, met the animal control, actually had a transport that they were transport. So I met the lady, literally had to pick the dog up she picked it up out of the animal control and put it out of the bus and put it down. It wouldn't get up. I had to pick it up, carry it to the car, got home, picked it out of the car, had to carry it inside, carry it upstairs. We had her in the bathroom. And because she was so just shell-shocked, you know. And the next day, I put a leash on her, and she walked downstairs, and she walked outside. And it takes about 3 days, but totally changed. And then by the time this puppy, and it was, you know, she was probably 25, 30 pounds, she was ready to go. She was just an awesome, awesome dog. You know, her personality come out. Now that happens because there's someone there that'll take the dog from the shelter and hold on to it and care for it and love for it and feed it and walk it and do all those things while the rescue tries to find a home for that dog. And it's just, we've done, we had these three amazing lab puppies about 3 years ago. We got them and we got them and their mom, I think. My car was a disaster. They had worms. It was just awful. We were worried they had parvo, and which is really, really bad. Yeah. And took them straight to my vet. They got them all dewormed. Got them back to our house. We had a dining room that we weren't using it with hardwood floors, so it's easy to clean. So they got put in there, and I'll never forget the next day. The one that was the worst, who we thought was going to die, bloody stool.
Oh, man.
Awesome, awful. The next morning, he goes to poop, and it was my first time ever seeing worms come out of a dog.
Yeah.
And it was like literally like spaghetti coming out of a dog's butt.
Oh, man.
You look and go, what? And yeah. So in a day, that was Oreo. Oreo was fine. The other two were great. And they were so, lambs are just near and dear to my heart. They were just a bundle of joy. And so we'd let them out and they'd play with our dogs. And it was wonderful. And they all got homes. And so you know, people are like, oh, I'd fall in love. Yeah, of course you fall. You fall in love with all the dogs, you know. Yeah. But you can't keep all the dogs. And every dog you keep is one less that you can foster.
Yeah.
We had these three, you know, another time we had these three that we got, and oh my God, they were just the cutest. We don't even know what they were. They were like Akitas or something. Around. They were the most adorable little fuzzballs. We had so much fun. And, you know, you would have kept, if we had a farm, we would have kept all three, but we don't have a farm. So they move on and, you know, on my Facebook feed, I'm always getting memories. Like today, we had memory of one little dog that, you know, my friend Kelly helped and nursed back to health. And so, yeah, so I urge everyone to foster. And, you know, if you're a cat person especially, what's one more cat?
You don't even know.
That's danger zone in my area.
You're not going to get any sympathy from us. We have like six upstairs right now.
Yeah. I was at 10, and then with my fosters, I think I was at 12 total. So when I went in and they're like, how many do you have at home? Oh, I've got 10, you know, mama and babies. That's no extra off my schedule or anything that I'm already, you know, doing. And so, yeah, my house has been kind of a revolving door for, for fostering. And I'll tell you, it has been one of the hardest, and the most rewarding experiences that I've done. I lost a baby. So when the hurricanes were coming through, the place that I, help foster through here, is actually, called the OAR, O-A-R, the Ohio Alley Cat, Resource Center. And, it's a really cool place. They do the fostering and all of their animals are, cats, at this location. And they do both. They have a medical center, so they do the TNRs, and then they have a separate building for the, adoptions of the cats that can be given in, to find homes. And then the really cool thing, which I was wondering if you guys had considered, some of the cats that they can't put back out, maybe they're, seem like they could be a working animal. They have, barn cats. So it's really cool because they've, you know, the ones that are deemed maybe not, you know, they don't want to release them all back out into right. the community, and they can find a working, now some of them, they're all called barn cats, but some of them go to, you know, farms, some of them go to, like businesses and things like that. And, so I don't know exactly the process for that, how they determine, but they just know that those cats will not make good in-home, pets. So there's kind of that extra step in there. That's really cool. But, it really is the hardest thing to give up those. I tried to be a foster fail a couple times, and I'm like, I would always be a foster fail if they would let me. So, I would say for sure, I also have adopted through our local animal friends, Humane Society here. And so, yeah, right now I have two of their cats out of my three. So one is blind and one is a tripod. So I have a special heart for the ones that, you know, some people may think, oh, that, you know, that cat's got, no, they're just like any other cat. So, the things that they do continually surprise me.
Our tripod got, yeah, we had a tripod. It got adopted today.
Oh,
it
was awesome.
It was, a lady who had another cat and they were worried about how they were going to get along. So I said, why don't you take them and foster them?
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work out, you bring them back. And we already had another adopter lined up.
Awesome.
One of the employees at PetSense. So, but she messaged me today and said, boy, all of a sudden they're just best friends.
Yes. You know,
they've been fine. So she sent me a great photo. So,
oh, yeah. I love that. I love when there's like an update. That was one of the biggest things fostering is I'm like, oh, can we get pictures? Can we get stories? And, you know, and doing the fostering, you're helping build the bio and, you know, share all the things that you've kind of learned about that animal so that somebody is, you know, has information and really does find a good fit for that particular animal. And their personalities, I've had some that, you know, won't come near me and very independent, very shy, almost, you know, on the feral end to the super, super needy cat. So,
tell Alec the story about how I got hijacked when we were eating together.
So my cats are very well trained with me eating. And one of the first times when we were dating and he was over to eat some food, we had gotten Taco Bell and we're watching a movie, and one of the cats came up and distracted him on the left, and then the cat that was sitting on the right took his last bite of his taco, and he was like, what just happened? And I'm just sitting there, I was kind of watching what was going on, and I'm like, oh, I told him you need to watch out for your food. And
I was so upset.
Oh, he was just so upset. His last bite of taco, it was so rude. And I just laughed because I was like, it's like in Jurassic Park with the little velociraptors when they do the little group thing. And
yeah,
well, and yeah, that's funny. The last bite of the meal is kind of like the most important part, the most satisfying part. Well, in the way we were sitting, I was kind of angled a little bit to the right, and she told me, keep your head on the swivel with the cat. So I'm kind of marking where they're at, kind of keeping an eye. Well, one of them just kind of crossed my field of view, and I turned a little bit, and then before you know it, phew, I had that bite taken out of my hand. I'm just like, and my mouth's just hanging open. Like I just got carjacked by a cat.
I was like, they went for the weakest link right there. I was like, I told you they're well-trained. They're not going to try that from me.
They circled up and they did it gradually where, you know, they don't just pounce on you. They just kind of slowly accumulate and they're standing around.
Well, we had a Boo Biscuit she'll jump up on the coffee table. If you know, if we're eating, I'm eating by myself in front of the TV. I sit down and, you know, she just sits down and starts staring. And every once in a while you get that paw.
Yep.
Here comes the paw.
Get out of the way.
Yeah. I've got one that's a very bad beggar. And I know that the people that I had got him from were just feeding him human food. So I was like, he's been bad since I got him. So.
Don't feed your cat human food.
I know. It's he likes to lick the bowl, so it's like I try to like take it and I'm like, so I'm usually like, nope, you gotta stay away. Gotta stay away.
He does. You have to fight this cat off whenever you have food. It's ridiculous. So you're trying to eat and you're just like pushing this cat away.
Yeah,
and then the little one too.
He is the pretty polite though, yeah.
Dogs are the same.
Yeah, dogs are bad. They're a little more aggressive about their, you know, if they want the food and stuff. I don't know. I feel like my cats are polite about it. And so, yeah. So how many babies have come through that and have ended up being bottle babies?
Oh, that's hard to say. I mean, this year we probably had a dozen bottle babies.
Wow.
10 to 12. And I got lucky and found this lady who we've never had more than maybe three at a time with her.
Okay.
Right now she's got one, I think, or two. And now we have another lady that can bottle feed as well. And the challenge often is, you know, this year it was just crazy because this one lady that I was TNRing for had so many cats and they were all giving birth, you know, underneath her trailer. And, they've all been, all those cats have been TNR'd though. So
that's great.
We won't have to deal with that again.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. Some people think, oh, I'll just leave them outside and, you know, it'll be fine. And they don't realize how fast, you know, the duration that the cats are pregnant for is very, very short. And the number of cats coming out of each litter, you know, it's exponential when they start breeding. And, you know, the bad thing too is then, you know, the mamas are mamas before they should be. So, you end up having kittens, and you know that's not healthy for them or the babies. And you know, you end up, there's so much stuff, like you said, with the worms and stuff. There's so many parasites and all that. Like I don't think people realize, you know, when you have an outdoor pet and you're not taking care of it properly, like those things are just a part of their life, but it's really affects their health. And you know, that's so important for the trap and neuter and release, besides getting them fixed so that they're not having that, but also having appropriate like vaccinations and things like that if you're going to have some animals around your home. And whether they're, you know, if they're living outside your house, then, you know, those are kind of your responsibility. And that's a lot of people just feel like, well, no, that's just an outdoor animal. And, you know, it might not be an animal that, but if you, you know, if it's living there and you're feeding it, then, you know, it is considered your property in a way. So,
and the other thing people don't understand is, one, it's always healthier for an animal to be spayed or neutered.
Right.
Dogs and cats both.
Yeah.
Two, roughly six, the numbers are up in the air, but roughly 60% of all kittens born outside die.
Yeah.
So do you really want kittens freezing to death and being eaten by coyotes and everything?
Yeah.
No. So just get those animals, you know, and there's resources out there, and get the cats spayed and neutered. It's that simple.
Well, that's the thing too. If the parent, the mama has distemper or the worms and bacteria and stuff, the kittens, you know, are suffering through the little bit of time that they may have and dying a horrible death. Yeah. So it really is important for people to kind of take action. And I'm really happy to hear that you guys had kind of stepped up in your area and found some great partnerships, it sounds like.
Yeah. And that's why we basically are right now, we're in process of moving away from Camp Horse Sanctuary, not moving away, meaning from a corporate perspective, signing up, you know, our own corporation, filing for a 501c3 that's, you know, that is basically XR Animal Rescue, and that's all we do.
Yeah, that's awesome. Oh, I'm so glad to hear, though, the success stories you guys have had so far already.
Oh, yeah, it's been great. We've been lucky and blessed, and we have a lot, you know, we have some great patrons, too.
Are there other PetSense locations close around as well that have open facilities that are similar to what you're doing?
Well, Monroe here, which is 10 minutes away from it, is there are handled by Camp Horse Sanctuary.
Okay.
And so, so the there's not another PetSense, you know, outside of Athens is the second closest. And after that, there's one like almost an hour away.
Okay. So. Yeah. That's really far when you're trying to deal with daily cats and dogs. And
yeah. It's the one in Athens is 35 minutes away.
Yeah. That's,
so, you know, that's hour and 10 minutes round trip.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so a lot of time.
That's a 2-hour trip basically. Yeah. You know, anytime I need to go there.
Isn't it tough when you're doing this to, I mean, I'm sure within the amount of time you have them that you get that attachment with a pet. So how do you foster them, take care of them, and then adopt them off? Is that ever difficult to do where you just feel like, you know, I've got to keep this one?
Well, yeah, like we just kept one that was very attached to me. Mm-hmm. And Gus Gus was very attached to me, and we were like, oh man, what are we going to do? You know, and then as it turns out, he had a little birth defect. Mm-hmm. And we had to spend like $2,000 on emergency surgery.
Wow.
And he's fine now. But I was like, all right, well, I guess you bought your way into this family, you little shit. No one's going to pay a $2,000 adoption fee.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just went through that with my kitten. He had come with one eye removed and the second eye was okay, but within 2 months basically had ruptured and we had to do a removal. And then he had an abscess on top of that. So I had told the Animal Humane Society that, you know, I want to keep this animal. Help me out with this because I can't afford the medical cost of the eye removal. You know, this was probably something that should have been done beforehand, which was their feeling. And of course, you know, they did a great job of helping me out so that I was able to keep the animal. And they already knew, you know, this animal has a loving home. And, you know, they...
So much easier. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And like I said, my other ones that I had fostered, when the hurricane came through, oh, was it 2-3 years ago, they were pulling in from Texas. So my cats that I had fostered came all the way from Texas into Ohio. And so it was really cool that, you know, we were able to help, like you had said, that, you know, this obviously was a reason that they had animals that were filling in on the euthanasia list. And so they got pulled out of there, but they were also receiving more from even farther south. So it was like, almost like they just shuffled one set over. And then I think they got a second set again, as there was more hurricane damage and everything. Oh. And, you know, and so it was amazing that I think they brought some like 300 cats or something.
Wow.
At one time.
That's a lot of cats. Yeah,
it was a lot. And apparently the mama that I ended up having with the kittens, I was like, I don't think these kittens belong to this mama. And they had said, well, you know, they were, you know, obviously had transported out, driven all the way over to the place. And I think the people were just grabbing and, you know, shuffling, okay, let's give this mama 3 kittens. Let's give the, you know, and I think that they were in a room all together. Like, I don't think they were even all separated because they were going to be destroyed. And so, you know, it took a long time. So I actually did bottle feeding, but it kind of wasn't with bottles. I ended up doing with syringes. And they said, you know, the mama wasn't nursing. She was very, very young. And so basically I was doing a mixture, like a gruel mixture of the milk and the kitten food. So it was very, very much like just very thin soup.
And Yeah, we've done the same thing.
Yeah. So I, like I said, one of them had come very, very ill and we lost that one within about 2 days. It was very tiny. It was a little tiny runt. And that was very much a huge heartbreak for me because that was the first time I had dealt with kittens that young. And I was just amazed. Like, I'm like, how did these animals come all this way from Texas? It made it here and then it didn't last, you know, much, but it was very, very ill. And, you know, I did the best I could for that short amount of time that it could have some recuperation.
Just,
and
sometimes it's just that, you know, just the fact that we're giving the animal love and it's knowing it's loved and cared for and has a warm hand on it. You know, we've lost two here. Yeah. Crystal and I lost Tony and Charito this year, both little babies. And I know of the ones that were being pulled out from under that house, Katie wound up with 3 of them. I think 3 of them passed with Katie and 2 passed with Alondo. I mean, there was but we were handling so many kittens.
Yeah.
And you know, often so young.
Yeah. And they're very fragile. People don't realize, you know, when a mama has those babies are so utterly fragile. The mama can do her best to take care of them, but sometimes the mamas need extra help too.
Yeah. And, but And also, the ones with the mamas always do better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
We had, you know, we had a mama Kit Kat here, had four babies, and she had them in a trap.
Wow.
She was trapped, gave birth in the trap. And the next day, the lady who found them, you know, whose trap it was, tried to turn them into one of the animal controls, who turned them down. Wow. And we were like, okay, well, all right, we'll take them.
Yeah.
So they're day old kittens. So anyway, meanwhile, we had the six other kittens that we had gotten, which I think we had gotten first before we got Mama Kit Kat. And now the kittens from Mama Kit Kat, which are younger, are bigger than the other. Yeah, it's not even close.
Yeah.
That's because they had a mom that was
feeding them. Oh, yeah.
They weren't being forced off of mother's milk. And, we bottle fed some here with our, you know, some of our little litter, the six that Sterling was a part of. We bottle fed maybe three or four of them for a couple of days, maybe 5 days before they were all weaned onto gruel. And then, and so we did it, but and they went through the, you know, they all chew through the little rubber caps. But it was it, you know, I've got plenty of photos of that, and it's cute.
Yeah. Bottle feeding kids. They are so messy, though.
Oh, they're a disaster. And, you know, if you don't have a mama and they're young, you're doing it every 2 hours.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember those days.
We were lucky that they were old, so we were doing it every, you know, maybe 4 to 6 hours. Yeah.
I went through, I think it was 2-3 weeks where I was like, I have had no sleep whatsoever.
Welcome to the world of rescue.
Ooh, yeah. And I didn't realize either that, you know, kittens don't go to the bathroom by themselves. So I was having to, you know, like rub them and everything and, you know, help them go to the bathroom. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to be so happy when we're over this stage and they can start going on their own. And so.
How do you help a kitten go to the bathroom? I've never heard that before.
So the mama will normally just lick them, and she basically licks them clean, makes sure that they go and basically ingests all that. So there's no trail, so that they will not be found by a predator. And basically I just took like a warm washcloth, like just wet it down with warm stuff and just wiped over their area and just wiped until they went. And, you know, then you just
fix my wire,
basically wash that off later. And, you know, start.
Yeah, we do a lot of laundry in this house.
Yeah. So
that's the first time I've heard that. You've never told me about that.
A lot of laundry. Yes. For sure. Wow. Yeah. So
it's almost like changing a diaper.
It is. It's definitely, it's like diapering for sure. Yeah. So it's
by the way, I'll mention that we have a GoFundMe going right now because for all our veterinary bills. So if you have a chance, just search Action Our Animal Rescue on GoFundMe and you'll find us. And we would appreciate any donation anyone wants to make.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah,
Action Our Animal Rescue.
Yep.
That sounds great. I'm so glad you guys have been able to help so many animals already and in such a short amount of time. That's such a great thing. And who comes up with the bios and all of that?
Our fosters do. Whoever is fostering it will write the bio.
Okay.
Which, you know, listen, writing a bio on a cat is, or a dog, it's, you know, there's only so much you can say. You tend to the bigger things. Well, this one's a little shy. This one's that very outgoing. That, you know, you tend towards that. With cats, if you're trying to find a home for them, you're probably finding a home for one that's a real sweet cat. You know, most cats are really sweet. Yeah. So,
and who's naming the kittens or the cats that's a come in?
Yeah, I typically allow the fosters to name them.
Very cool.
Crystal names in our house, Crystal, you'll usually name them. Although I once in a while, like we had Kiki, Juno. That was her name. Crystal named one Juno, and then I named the black one Sparky.
Oh, very cool.
Crystal named Kiki and Juno, and I named Sparky.
Were they of the same litter?
They came in at the same time.
Okay. Sometimes that's hard to say. Yeah.
We think so. Kiki and Sparky are here, and they're just hysterical. They're so much fun.
When they're adopted, do people rename them? Isn't that confusing if they come in with, I guess, their foster name and then get renamed?
They don't pay attention to their name that young, believe me.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not like you're training a dog to respond to come Spot. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spot gets trained to know what his name is. Cats don't get trained.
How would you write the bio of a cat that steals food? I want to hear what your bio would be of that.
Oh, yes, definitely something about drive-bys.
And every time you open the door, like his head just pops right around.
Yeah,
right
around. I have a greeter cat. So I have a window up in my bathroom, and he likes to sunbathe up there. But he knows the car, and as soon as he hears a key, or he hears me outside the door, regardless if it's the front or the back door, he is automatically there. And he is definitely checks on anybody that comes in that door. And
that is spectacular. That is excellent. Well, Alec, do you want to, are there any other social medias, projects you're working on? Anything you want to tell all of us about?
Well, everyone can go join the Axonar Animal Rescue group on Facebook. So please join. We have just over 100 members on that group. We just started it. And if you're interested in adopting a cat, let us know. We are trying to post more and more photos on there. And of course, just follow us on Axonar. The next two episodes of Axonar will be released next summer.
Yes. So,
we've got 1 day of shooting left. We were almost done, but we got 1 day of shooting left, and then we're running in the can. So, cool. Yeah.
I was hoping so. I don't think I ever showed you Prelude to Axonar. No, I have to show you yet. That. Oh, it is good.
You gotta watch.
It is good.
And then the Vulcan scene also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both on our website. And for all of you out there, just go to axonar.com, axanar.com, and you'll be able to get access to our YouTube channel right there.
That's good news. I'm definitely going to be looking forward to the summer. Yeah, that is awesome. So, and you said one more day to film on that? One more day of shooting. Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. Do you use Neutral Zone Studios for your shoots, or do you go somewhere else?
No, we don't. We have our own little studio. It's set up that now runs as a 501c3 and works with Gwinnett County Schools. If we do use any TOS sets, we'll be using the ones up at Warp 66 Studios. That's the one we'll probably be using. But my friend Jeff just bought the building next to Neutral Zone Studios, which I guess is attached, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, that is great. That's real exciting. I'm glad that you were able to share that with us. So I definitely appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you so much for talking with me about this.
Yeah.
This was great. Yes. I'm glad that we were finally able to get our schedules lined up and be able to do this. I think it's great. We should definitely, as you go along with that, talk some more about Axonar Animal Rescue and just about all the other things. Glad that the move went well, and hope everything continues to go well. And thank you for taking out the time to talk with me today and talk with both of us today.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
My pleasure. Thank you, everyone. Live long and prosper. We appreciate it.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can support us at patreon.com/beyondtrek.
We are Beyond Trek Podcast. Lower your inhibitions and surrender your years. We will add inspirational and hilarious Trek content to your day. Your attention will adapt to subscribe to us. Resistance is futile.